Just for the incoming week then, so all organisations are on as normal. Tuesday at 7:30 is our Bible study and prayer meeting, and for the remainder of February, our Bible studies and prayer meetings will be led by the Reverend Philip Campbell. Next Sunday, the 19th of February, both services at 11 and 6 will be taken by the Reverend Nigel Kissick. It's the final week next week that we will have Andrew and Claire Cuthbert with us. We will mark that event in our evening service and also have tea in the hall afterwards. Just a reminder, if you can, just to leave your best wishes in the book at the back. Last week was our 10th Sunday, and the total offerings received amounted to £2,120, which will go to your own missionary family this time round. And on behalf of the church, I want to thank you for your generosity. As I said this morning, we have been watching the TV screens of the devastating effects of the earthquake in Turkey and Syria. We are as a church, going to gift £1,000 through a Christian relief organisation. We're still trying to work that out. I know it says tier fund up there, but we'll let you know exactly which charity we'll put that through as the days go on here. We also have a retiring offering at the back in the boxes, so that will allow you maybe to donate as you feel led as well. Just a members' notice, so advance notice, we were having our annual general meeting on Thursday the 23rd of February at 7:30 in the church hall. Just a reminder that at that AGM we hope to vote on a change to the Rule 20 of our constitution, and therefore we need the prerequisite number of voting members at that meeting. Just make every effort to attend. Also, I mentioned this morning about an invitation for a New Tribes Mission event held down in the House of Vicarin in Lisburn on Saturday the 25th of February. If you would like to know more about that or want to go to that, please speak to Matthew and Liz Cuthbert and they'll book you in. These are all the announcements, and I may God willing. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. James said this morning that the Lord had laid in his heart the Legion song this morning, and the Lord has laid something in my heart, but don't worry, I'm not going to sing to you. And I would like us to all stand and just say the Lord's Prayer out loud together, please. Let us pray.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. If you just remain standing, and we'll just do our first song this evening, which is Have You Been to Jesus? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
didn't realise it was five verses, but hey-ho, it's a great song, and we have a faithful God, which is what our next song is going to be, that we come before the throne of grace, and we find what we need right there, and our God is faithful. So please join us in standing as we sing this song.
Taken from Acts chapter 8, and we'll be reading from verse 35 to 39. Starting at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Thank you.
We have one more song for you just before Philip comes, and we're going to sing one that we haven't probably sung for a wee while, which is Minor Days That God Has Numbered. And you know, we do go through hard times in life, and there's death, there's sadness, there's difficulties, but we can look forward to that day where we can say, Come rejoice now, O my soul, for we know that one day we will be with our Lord in heaven. So please stand as we sing Minor Days That God Has Numbered.
Thank you. Baptist Church in Dundonald next weekend, Friday evening, all day Saturday, and a Thanksgiving service on Sunday. Eddie Floyd of Fireblade Ministries has organized this, and he's hoping for a good deal of interest for folk generally, and opportunity to share the gospel at that time as well. And so that's Grace Baptist Church. If you're, like I said this morning, if you're heading along the King's Road out towards the Ice Bowl, you'll find Tully Carnot Presbyterian on the left, and Grace Baptist is behind that church. And a little bit selfishly, I suppose, I want to mention a couple of things of which you're probably aware as well. Our tract, Catherine and I wrote this tract for Roger Carswell some time ago, Ulster Land of Sainted Scholars. They're down in the rack at the back, and if you can use a quantity of them in any way, please do ask us. We can let you have those for free of charge. And let me give a little plug for Treasuring Jesus. 2 5-minute meditations twice a week, and we'd love to have you tune in for that. And as I said before, if they're a blessing to you, tell others, and if they're not, tell nobody. Tell nobody. Now we're going to read together from the letter to the Hebrews and chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read just the first 6 verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It was many years ago that the Lord called me into evangelism, and we travelled to different places and were involved in sharing the message of Jesus in different ways. And I must confess, though I've never been where this particular evangelist went, because he went to visit a circus. The circus came along to town, and he wanted to witness to the folks who were performing there. Still remember having a double take years ago when up there in Coleraine there was a circus in town. You were driving around the ring road and all of a sudden caught sight of somebody taking an elephant for a walk. You know, he's driving. Well, this particular evangelist was talking amongst the performers, and there was one of them who said, it was a lady, I think it was, and she said, "I'm sorry, I just don't have enough faith. I don't have your faith, so that's why I can't become a Christian." Well, they kept on talking, and the evangelist was interested to find out what it was that this girl did in the show. And he found out that she was the lion tamer. And during her act, apart from trying to keep the lions in control and getting the sit up, etc., all that sort of thing, at one point in the show, what she would do is she would get the mouth of the lion and hold it open and stick her head in the mouth of the lion. This was the girl who said she didn't have enough faith. She had faith enough in the lion, but not apparently in God. You know, I run into people all the time who say, "Well, I'd love to be a Christian, but. I'd love to be a Christian, but. What a list of reasons often comes after that. But maybe you've heard somebody say, I'd like to have enough faith. Maybe somebody here tonight said, well, I'm here tonight and I'm enjoying the service, but I'm not a real Christian because I don't have enough faith. Maybe you're listening online or watching or listening to a recording and you think to yourself, well, I just don't have enough faith. Well, let me tell you that the aspect of faith is certainly very, very important. And I want to talk about faith tonight under the title of To Believe or Not to Believe. To Believe or Not to Believe. It sounds a bit Shakespearean, but not quite. To believe or not to believe, that really is the question. The little boy was asked, what is faith? Oh, he said, that's easy. Faith is believing what you know isn't true. Well, little boys have been wrong about other things as well. But I looked up the dictionary to see what they said. And one of the definitions of faith in the dictionary said this: strong belief in something, especially without proof. Strong belief in something, especially without proof. I want to say to you folks tonight, it may be without proof as far as the dictionary is concerned, but as Christian faith, it's not without evidence. And I'm going to share with you some of that this evening. If you need faith to become a Christian, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, and you know that faith is involved, what kind of faith do you need? What does it mean to have faith? I want to share that with you in as simple way as I can this evening. First of all, faith involves facts to accept. It involves certain facts to accept. Now, faith is more than believing certain things are true, but that's where you start. One or two things that you need to accept. Number one, that there is a God. You need to accept that there's a God. What was it said there in Hebrews chapter 11? He that comes to God must believe that he is. How can you come to God if you don't believe that he's there? Now it's true that seemingly increasingly so, the default position of the media and even across our society is that of atheism, which says there is no gods. And that's why I say to you tonight that atheists can't be saved. Because as long as you're saying there is no God, you're not going to be prompted to come to him, are you? Before a person who says he's an atheist can come to God, he must first become an agnostic and say, well, maybe there is. And maybe his heart will become open to the possibility of a God actually existing. Why is it that we believe in God? Supposing somebody stopped you at Abbott's Cross tomorrow morning when you were at the shops. What is it that you could say makes you believe that there is a God? Would you be able to tell them? Would you be able to share something of the reason why you believe that there's a God? Well, let me give you a hand. We believe in God because of creation. Because of the world, because of the universe, because of people. What God has made, we believe because of creation. We also believe because of conscience. Conscience is God's alarm bell in the soul. Whenever we go wrong, whenever we're turning in the wrong direction morally, there's something in here that tells us that we're going wrong. And we believe because of Christ. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We believe because of Jesus. Yes, these are some of the reasons we would give for believing in God. And one of the things you need to remember, folks, is where atheism actually leads. If you say that there's no God, where does that thinking take you? Theory of evolution has become widely accepted in contradiction to what we're teaching the children this morning. You know, who made the twinkling stars? Our Father God. Yes. We believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and we don't apologize for that, and we would share that there's evidence for that. But where does evolution lead? Evolution says that we came from nothing. We're here for no reason and we're headed nowhere. Is that a council of despair or what? Can you blame people for deciding that life is not worth living if that's the basis of their faith? We came from nothing, we're here for no reason, and we're headed nowhere. Well, thank God there are some atheists who have become Christians. Maybe they could have a chat with the world's renowned atheist, Richard Dawkins, and share why it is that they came to believe first in God and then in Jesus Christ. You need to believe that there is a God. Second thing that you need to believe if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to have faith to be a Christian, is that the Bible is the Word of God. That the Bible is the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 7 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need to have a general acceptance that this book has come from God, inspired by God, and through it God speaks. Now, I know that there are things about the Bible that you may have difficulty with. There are questions that you have about things that are here in the book. Well, can I suggest to you that if that's your position, make sure that you ask those questions. See whether the question is valid. See whether there's an answer. You know, there's loads of young people I've met over the years, and they'll throw things at you as far as questioning the Christian faith is concerned, and they'll not wait for the answer. And they'll not try and find out whether or not there is an answer. Listen, the Bible is the Word of God, and it shows it by the evidence which we could point to. For instance, we could think of the evidence of prophecy. Of things that have been said by the prophets, which you could not have predicted, and they have come true. Especially about Jesus. There's loads of prophecies in the Old Testament pointing forward to the coming of Jesus, and we see them fulfilled in his life. And if those predictions about Jesus' first coming have come to pass, do we have difficulty believing that the predictions about the second coming will come true? We can trust what this book says. We need to believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Let me add something else. I always remember Rex Mathie, the South African preacher, explaining this verse of Scripture, and he put it like this. A comes from B, B comes from C, therefore C comes from A. Now maybe you didn't catch the drift of that, and so he tried to explain it like this. Butter comes from milk. Milk comes from cows. Butter comes from cows. Now you understand. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing comes from the Word. Faith comes from the Word. And so folks, if you're a Christian here tonight and you need a little bit more faith, you need more Bible. That's what you need. It's the Scriptures getting into your mind and down into your heart that will make a difference in your life. But if you want faith to be a Christian, you need to believe that there's a God. Secondly, that the Bible is the Word of God. And thirdly, that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus is the Son of God. You know that within the Scriptures, we're pointed to Jesus not merely as a good man, not merely as a prophet, but as the divine Son of God. And when you think about his teaching, his birth, his life, his miracles, and his death and resurrection, you know that here was somebody who was absolutely unique. Jesus claimed to be divine. He claimed to be God. He said in John 14 and verse 1, you believe in God, believe also in me. It's one thing to believe in God, but you need to go on to believe in Jesus. One of the signs that Jesus was so different was when people came and they knelt down in front of him to worship him, he accepted worship. He accepted worship. When Peter had Cornelius kneel down in front of him, Peter said, get up, I'm just a man like you. When John was kneeling down in front of an angel in heaven, as we read about in Revelation, the angel said, on your feet, please. We worship God up here. Jesus accepted worship. He accepted to be treated as someone who was divine. And of course, you know, one major reason why we believe in Christ as the Son of God is he rose again from death. After he died upon the cross, 3 days later, he was raised again. So you need these things to be facts in your mind and in your heart, that there is a God, that the Bible is the Word of God, and that Jesus is the Son of God. Now I know that there are some people who question these aspects of the Christian faith, and we would suggest to you, check out the evidence. Don't just believe us, check out the evidence. Take the resurrection. It was Frank Morrison many years ago who went over to Israel to check out this outlandish claim that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And he went to the locations associated with the life of Jesus. He checked it all out and he found something very strange. The evidence was pointing in totally the different direction than he was expecting. If you read his book, it's called Who Moved the Stone? Who Moved the Stone? The first chapter of that book is called The Book That Refused to Be Written. The Book That Refused to Be Written. Because he discovered that far from pointing away from this claim that Jesus rose from the dead, the evidence was right on the money. It really is evidence that you and I can check out. There's more than one way of you doing it. But I want to point out something to you. Maybe something about your own heart. Because why is it that people don't believe? Why is it that they hold back from believing in these things that we've talked about and in Christ himself? Why? Well, do you know something? It's in the book of 2 Peter we read these words. Willingly ignorant. Willingly ignorant. This they are willingly ignorant of. There are some people who simply refuse to believe. Remember Thomas? Oh yes, even one of the Lord's disciples was reluctant to believe that he rose again from the dead. And he said to the rest of them, he said, listen, unless I can put my finger into the print of the nails, unless I can put my hand into his side, I will not believe. See that? I will not believe. Somebody has said, there's nothing so impenetrable as the will not to believe. But Thomas changed. Thomas was like that for a time until the risen Lord stood before him and he said, my Lord and my God. Yes, there is evidence. Check it out. The reason why people refuse to believe is because the same Bible that talks about God, that talks about Jesus Christ, that talks about how we can have salvation by faith in him, this Bible tells us that we need to change. It tells us that we're sinners. It tells us that we're those who need to have the cleansing power that we were singing about earlier on, of the precious blood of Jesus. But if you want to have faith to be a Christian, there are certain facts that you have to accept. But secondly, faith involves facts to accept and also a person to trust. A person to trust. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. See, accepting the facts that we spoke about is good, but it's not enough. You need to go further than that. You see, faith in Jesus is not just a matter of following a religion, it's a matter of trusting a person. Matter of trusting a person. When I went to Bible college many years ago, one of the things that we had to do in the morning was we had to do different chores before breakfast. And one term, I got the opportunity to have fellowship with a large potato peeler. Yeah. Right there in the basement of number 95 Palm Grove, Park Road South, there in Birkenhead. I went to Emmanuel Bible College there. I had the opportunity and the privilege of peeling potatoes. Now, thankfully, we had this machine, you know, and you had to go down there and you had to load it up with spuds and turn on the water and then turn it on, and it would agitate the potatoes, and eventually the outer skins would be taken off and you put them in a bucket and you carry them up to the kitchen. And it was an opportunity for me to have fellowship with potatoes before they got cooked. But I tell you about that. Why do I mention something like that to you? Do you believe me? Well, you see, if you can believe me when I say something like that, can't you believe Jesus when he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me"? I can assure you that he is worth believing more than I am. He is. I can well remember that after hearing Sam Workman preaching one Sunday evening and mentioning John chapter 6 and verse 37, "Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And as a youngster of 10, I bowed my knee in my room and asked the Lord to come into my life to be my Savior. Do you know what I discovered? I could believe him. He told the truth. Because he did come in. He has made a difference to this life of mine. And here I am, many years later, to testify to the fact that Jesus is a person you can trust. Why should you trust in Jesus? You can trust in him because he loves you. He cares for you. He died for you. And he deserves your trust. Trusting him alone for forgiveness and for his friendship and his new life that he can bring and for heaven to come. He's a person that you can trust. So faith in Jesus, faith to be a Christian, involves facts to accept. It involves a person to trust. But then thirdly, it involves a decision to make. It involves a decision to make. Many years ago at school, I was in lower sixth, and one of these periods that we had in lower sixth was, I think it was just some time to fill up, and it was just a time for discussion in class about general topics. Just so happened that the teacher who was in charge of that class was a Christian, and at one point, I don't remember how it came up, but at one point she asked the class to put their hands up if they believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. "How many of you believe that he was the Son of God?" she said. And I looked around and virtually every hand in the class was up. Well, look, the hands were up and my mouth dropped open, because these were some of the guys that made things hard for me as a Christian. They made fun of you. And they didn't believe the Bible, etc. But they believed that Jesus was the Son of God. How come? Well, it's obvious that even though they ticked a box, it didn't make a difference in their lives, did it? It didn't make a difference to them personally. You see, they hadn't acted on what they said they believed. You see, it's true that Jesus doesn't let us off the hook. He doesn't. Remember that day in Caesarea Philippi where his disciples were faced with the question from Jesus, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some think you're Jeremiah, some think you're one of the prophets, Elijah, some of them think that you're John the Baptist." But then he said, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter was speaking for them all when he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You see, we need to recognize the challenge personally for you and for me. The woman at the well was happy enough to talk about religion until Jesus pressed the point home And he said, well, you want to hear more about this? Go and call your husband and come back. Ah, that was a little bit more difficult. Which should she do? You know, she'd had five husbands and the guy she was living with wasn't her husband. Who should she bring? Jesus put his finger on the sore spot. He makes it personal all the time. Oh, there's a lot of people very happy to debate religion with you. But when you get down to the personal aspect, what about you? What do you say about Jesus? Isn't it time you trusted in Jesus? Yes, some people will stand back and say, well, that's just getting a little bit too close. You see, the response to these issues, men and women, is not merely a class debate. It's a personal challenge for your life and for mine. You'll remember how Stevie was reading about Philip and the Ethiopian there in the middle of the desert. And the Ethiopian had been reading Isaiah the prophet, and God's servant had been guided to him and explained to him how that scripture from Isaiah 53 spoke about Jesus. And then the Ethiopian got the point when he said, well, there's water here, can I be baptized? And Philip said, yeah, if you believe with all your hearts. If you believe with all of your hearts. And the Ethiopian and Philip went down into the water and he baptized him. Do you remember that never to be forgotten day in Philippi? When Paul and Silas in the jail prayed and sang praises to God, and all the prisoners heard them, and there was an earthquake. That was some earthquake. Maybe not the same as the intensity as the one we're hearing about in Turkey and Syria, but in that prison there in Philippi, the jailer was expecting that all of the prisoners would have bolted through the door at the earliest opportunity. And Paul says, we're all here. Don't commit suicide. Do yourself no harm, he said. And the Philippian jailer fell down at Paul's feet and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Believe. There it is again. Believe. It's something we can't avoid. Faith means to believe. From that same hour, the Philippian jailer and all of his house believe. Getting a picture? Facts to accept, a person to trust, a decision to make. I wonder if you're ready to make that decision. I wonder if you've never really trusted in Jesus. Have you understood what's involved? Let me finish with a couple of simple illustrations. It was many, many years ago that the French tightrope walker Blondin found himself at Niagara Falls. This had been well publicized. He was going to put up a tightrope across the falls and he would walk all the way across. And so he did. He did some marvelous and remarkable things then. He walked all the way across for one thing and then all the way back. And then one time he came and he stopped in the middle. And down below him in the Horseshoe Falls was a little boat called the Maid of the Mist. Maybe some of you have been on it. And he let down a rope from where he was on his tightrope, and somebody put on a bottle of wine and he pulled it up and had a drink before he went on to the other side again. On one occasion he took along the tightrope a little stove and he cooked an egg. Fried an egg and ate it. This is true. It really happened. And he took a wheelbarrow and he pushed it there and back again. But the most daring thing that he planned to do was to take a man all the way across the falls on his back. Well, the day came, the crowds were there, and everybody turned up except the man who was going to be on his back. He chickened out. On the other hand, One of the folk who was there was a man called Harry Colcord. I think he was Blondin's agent. And Harry agreed to go on Blondin's back. Wow. Talk about a thrill ride, being a roller coaster. Harry got up on Blondin's back, and very slowly they began to make their way along the tightrope over the falls. And at one point, Harry Colcord began to stiffen. I wonder how long it took before that happened. He was, Blondin said, Harry, don't try and save yourself. Just trust me. Trust me. And Blondin was able to carry his agent, Harry Colcord, all the way across to the other side of the falls. You see, the guy who said he believed in Blondin didn't show up. But Harry Colcord did. We can't just say that we believe in Jesus. It's a decision that you have to make. And the other illustration that I want you to think about is this. You wondered why I brought this chair over here. You see, this to help me to illustrate what faith is all about. Now, you think that this chair's very secure and it would hold my 11 stone weight. Itch. Well, you look at it and you say, well, I think it would hold my weight. But that's not faith. That's not faith. There's some of you who are sitting on chairs like this at the back. I can see you sitting there, and I say, well, this one would hold me like that, those ones are holding you. But that's not faith either. I could ask our caretaker, Alan, about these chairs and how they've never failed, they've never let anyone down. And I would believe him. But that's not faith. That's not faith. You're getting the point, aren't you? Do you know what faith is? This is faith. Now I'm trusting the chair. Folks, you can say all you like about believing in Jesus, about accepting what the Bible says about him, but what you do is, you need to do is to trust him. To trust him. To make him your Lord and your Savior. That is real faith. That's real faith. And maybe there's some here this evening who have never done that. Maybe there's somebody listening to a recording or listening at home, and that has never been your experience. The faith that you need to be a Christian, there are facts to accept, there's a person to trust, and a decision to make. And maybe tonight you need to make that all-important decision. So let's bow together as we come to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you tonight for the simplicity of your truth. We thank you, Lord, that the message is so clear that even a young child can understand that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that by his death upon the cross, he paid for our sin. By trusting in him, we can be forgiven and know new life and the assurance of a home in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for these wonderful and simple truths. And Father, I pray that even tonight there might be some who are listening who will make that all-important decision. They'll have real faith. They'll find out what it is to believe in Jesus. Not merely to tick a box as far as doctrine is concerned, but to trust him as Lord and Savior. Oh, Father, how we pray that you might let your message be put beyond the reach of the enemy into every heart. And we pray, Lord, that you will grant to us the knowledge that the simplicity of the gospel applies to us. that we have believed personally in Jesus, that he has personally rid us of our sin and given to us the hope of a home in heaven. Oh, Father, answer this our prayer, because we bring it in the worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, the girls are going to lead us in a final song. It's one which you could make your prayer if you're here, listening at home or listening to a recording. The hymn is one of Francis Ridley Havergal's lovely songs. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee, trusting thee for full salvation, great and free. Make this your prayer, if that's your need. We'll stand together after the introduction to sing. Thank you that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Someone who is worth trusting in. And Father, we ask that there might be those even tonight who will discover, perhaps for the first time, that Christ is the one who can cleanse them, forgive them, make them new within, and give them a home, hope of a home in heaven one day. So, Father, we pray that you'll dismiss us with your blessing. Thank you for your presence with us in our services today. Watch over us as a fellowship in the days that lie ahead. And so we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit might rest and abide with each one this night and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Amen.